broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday morning, Friday, May the 19th, 2023. 19 minutes past the hour, and you are turned into WGH Talk Radio, and we have got a great morning of programming ahead of you this morning. Now, remember, it is Friday, so we will be on until 1 p.m. today. I'll be on from 8 to 9, and then Pastor Whitaker will join me from 9 to 10. And then from 10 to 1 today, we have something very special planned. We have some giveaways here that we're going to do, but we also have somebody coming in from 10 until 1 that you're not going to want to miss. It's a voice you will recognize from the past, so don't miss that from 10 until 1 today. Now, I do want to remind everybody that, of course, I was not here yesterday. I had my little 8-week checkup, and I have a little bit of bad news for everybody. I don't like to start the morning off with bad news, especially a getaway Friday, but it looks as if I'm going to live another 50 or 60 years. So, people are going to have to put up with me and all my annoyances for about another 50 or 60 years. Now, I know that's very depressing for a Friday morning, but I just wanted to let you know. It was a good day. Good doctor's appointment. All right. Tiffin Flea Market tomorrow. I can't believe that after a year, I'm finally going to get to do this tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to that. We talked about our surprise guest this morning from 10:15 until 1, and I'm serious. Make sure your listening device or radio is on from 10:15 to 1 today, because I think you're going to have a lot of fun with this person coming in, and we're going to give away prizes all morning, which is kind of the forte of this person. Well, last night, Mary Ellen Withrow came into the studio, and we taped an episode of our television show. And we kind of got reflecting last night, Mary Ellen and I, about our friendship of many, many years now. And you know, it is so fun to look back at all the things that Mary Ellen and I have done over the years. From opening nights at Stewart's Root Beer, we went to a pizza place one time in Belle Fountain, Ohio, 600 downtown, I believe it was called. Mary Ellen has just done so many things. She was here when we did the big groundhog thing last year. She certified the prediction. Mary Ellen has been to my house for cookouts. She has been to my house for holidays. I have been to her house for birthday parties, and as many of you know, some of those have gone awry. She's been here for election coverage, sometimes until midnight, 1 in the morning. So it was just nice to reflect back with Mary Ellen on all the fun that we had had together over the past, I really don't know how many years I've known Mary Ellen now. A long time. And the friendship remains, and we taped a great episode of the television program last night, which will air on YouTube. It will be available on YouTube, hopefully coming up within the next couple weeks. But Mary Ellen Withrow certainly is a treasure, and to be the 40th treasurer of the United States, that certainly was named correctly. And by the way, there is a picture of that on Facebook. So if you go to Facebook, you can see Mary Ellen and I from last night. All right, well, tonight is the big Friday night show, so whatever you're doing, just be ready, because last week we had a real barn burner, and I have never heard as much feedback as I heard last week about that Friday night show when we brought in Olivia and Matt and Sean and myself, and tonight we'll all be together again. I don't know what in the world we're going to be talking about tonight. We have not really discussed that, but it'll be great to have Olivia and Sean and Matt in again tonight, and I think we're going to have a tremendous time. So many people approached me in the last week talking about how much they liked that program. And that's a great, great thing to hear back from the listening audience out there. So look forward to the Friday night show tonight, 8:15 to 10 o'clock on this station with Olivia and Matt and Sean and myself. Now, the Memorial Day cookout. Now, as many of you know, last year, pretty much from March until really early September, I was kind of down and out with medical reasons. I still did the radio show, but that was about it. And for years, I had always had the big Memorial Day cookout, the 4th of July cookout, the Labor Day cookout. Last year, I did not get to do a one of those. Well, this year, I think I'm going to start those back up. And I was talking to Mary Ellen last night about it, and Sean, and Mary Ellen said, boy, I certainly did enjoy coming to those things. And I said, well, Mary Ellen, of course you're invited, as anybody who wants to be invited usually is. I won't say that. Here's what it is about the cookouts. It's not about being invited. What it is it's just about how much food I have. Because you don't want too many people at a cookout. And there are, my family members, of course, come to these things. And I never know how many people my family are going to bring. Sometimes it's a few. Sometimes it's one or two. You just never know. And you don't want to run out of food, hamburgers and hot dogs, especially as the host of the big Memorial Day cookout. So Mary Ellen has always come to this thing, and of course, my family comes to this thing, and Sean normally comes to this thing. Now, periodically, Terry has come to this thing. It's really kind of a hodgepodge thing, but we really do have a great time at this event, but food is the issue, because I don't want a whole lot of leftover food, and I also do not want to run out of food. So, I don't know. You know, here's what I'm going to say at this point. It just came up last night. I really don't know what's going to happen, but I think they are going to resume this year because of my conversation with Mary Ellen and Sean last night. But only time will tell, as they say, as we go on down the road heading into Memorial Day weekend, next weekend. So hopefully the weather will be nice for that. So, what else do we have to bring up here this morning? Oh, we're getting a phone call. We may go to the phones here in just a second. Okay, well, I don't know who this is, but let's check it out. Go ahead, caller.
Is this Scott?
Oh, yes. Well,
this is Kreskin. Am I calling too early, Scott?
Oh, no. Well, I think we got disconnected there. We're going to bring him back in. That was our friend Kreskin. Well, now we'll get him back in, hopefully here momentarily. Live radio, folks, on a Friday morning, 27 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. We're going to get our caller back in here momentarily, the amazing Kreskin, which will be a lot of fun this morning. Hopefully, we'll be able to work that out. Well, now we've lost the call. Well, what a weird morning. What a weird way to start off the morning here this morning. But yeah, the Tiffin Flea Market coming up tomorrow. And I've told this story many, many times now. Here we go. Okay. I think we've got things worked back out. Now, boy, I tell you, phones are a tricky thing sometimes. And this is a big morning because this is a guest I have not talked to in, I believe, over 6 months now. He is one of my favorite people. He is the foremost mentalist in the world, as far as I'm concerned. He's a dear friend of mine, a dear friend of this program, and it's so good to have him on this morning, the amazing Kreskin. Kreskin, how are you?
Scott, this is, I think I called you premature a little bit earlier, and just so you know, my drinking has not increased that much. I don't drink, but I you know, in this day and age, Scott, when it's becoming a problem to chuckle and laugh at each other, because I've done a number of seminars. By the way, I got to stop for a moment. It's hard to believe, what's it, about 6 months that you and I have spoken. You're one of my favorite people. You have such a spark, a glow, just in the sound of your voice. And you're out in Marion, Ohio, huh? Is that where you are?
Marion, Ohio. I could not believe it had been that long since we had talked last.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. And when we think of what's gone on in our culture, I think, by the way, do I get the impression, or is it just a congested vibration, that we're getting overcrowded in the United States? My God, when I see the pictures and what have you of what's happening, things have changed a bit since we talked last, but there were signs of it when we spoke before. How have you been? You've been well?
I've been good. Everything is great. How have things been with you?
Things are good. I've done a tremendous amount of private corporate performances, and it's a different situation, because sometimes working with audiences of hundreds or a few thousand, and this weekend I'm in at resorts in Atlantic City this Saturday, and a week from Saturday, those of you in the New Jersey or New York area, it'll be a live program, and it's going to be an hour and a half performance and so forth, including, of course, the check test, which I still, thank God, have found that there isn't. The psychiatrists tell me that they notice that I'm 88 years old now. Can you believe it? But they say there isn't that much brain damage. Not that there, God forbid there were any, but I just love my work. I have a tremendous passion, a tremendous excitement for what I do. And your listeners, if they have a pen and pencil or a pad or something, they may want to take out something I'm going to announce for next Wednesday. And if they are interested in it's not going to be an expensive situation, but they can see me live and participate in something that I'm going to teach, Scott, and something I've wanted to do for a long, long time. And finally, I brought myself to do it. I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm selling something, but you want me to announce things that are maybe going on that are important in my life. And this is the headline of the story, or the half hour, 40 minutes that people will take is titled Reawakening Your Unconscious Mind Training. Because, Spot, we've reached a point, Scott, where we're just... And I'm sure you understand this and probably have talked about it. We're not paying as much attention to each other as we once did. And boy, I hear this from sociologists, and I hear this from teachers who say they cannot mention this in colleges. They cannot talk about this because they could be fired and what have you. But sociologists say even young people don't hear each other as much anymore. With the pandemic putting people out of business and out of activity and out of communication, we're not socializing as much. It's incredible. There's less marriages today, less children being born. You've discussed this, haven't you, Scott?
Oh, sure. It's really amazing that this is all going on here in 2023. I did not know it would come to this.
Yeah, I've written 21 books now, and I wrote in a book maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago that something could be happening in about 5, 6 years in the United States, and then I started describing some things which sounded way out, so I only devoted 2 pages to it, and people have called me and says, you know, I read part of your book, and you talked about this. I said, yeah, but it seemed inconceivable. Who would have ever dreamt, Scott? Who would have ever dreamt? I've done hundreds and hundreds of university shows in this country, in Canada. But do you know today, many of the top comedians will never work at university again? Are you aware of this, Scott?
Yes, I've heard of this.
The reason is, and I would have never believed this would take the case, in most of the major universities, if you're a comedian and are going to perform there, you must send your entire script ahead of time with the understanding that you will not veer from it. And as comedians say to me, Kreskin, ad-libbing is part of our work and so forth. This is it's outrageous. But to reach a point of that kind of censorship is, to me, almost beyond belief, Scott.
Well, it is, and I think it's the politically correct culture that is causing that. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, you said something very significant. The politically correct. Do you know that young people and college and high school people don't kid each other as much as they once did? I guess they're afraid that there's going to be repercussions because, you know, when I was a kid and I grew up with an Italian, Polish family, and my grandmother from Sicily, my grandmother and grandfather from Sicily. You can imagine a lot of people don't know about this Italian structure, but my grandmother, before she came to the United States, what did she do for a living? She was a chef and cook for royalty. That's what she did day after day. So can you imagine, Scott, when we gathered together at my grandma's house with my three aunts and my brother and my mother and father and so forth, there were like 16, 18 of us. You can imagine the dinners we were having every Sunday. My favorite meal still, Scott, and I don't know if you care for it, but I love spaghetti with meat sauce. I mean, that is a passion in my life, and spaghetti tastes better even the second day because the sauce is better. But in those days, Italian sauce and sausage and everything else, it took four, five, 6 hours to make the gravy and everything. Today, everybody makes a meal, you know, within a couple of hours or what have you. But you can imagine the crowd we had and the dinners on the table and what have you. I don't mean to indulge in the past, but that was a very special part of my life.
Oh, absolutely. I can only imagine. And Kristen, one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on this morning is because, you know, there's so much going on right now with politics. President Trump, in particular, running for president again, and also being indicted in the Southern District of Manhattan in New York there.
Yes.
What at this point is being the world famous mentalist you are, what do you see the future? I'll just leave it wide open to all of those things looking like for President Trump.
I got to tell you something, Scott, and you understand me, and we have a genuine, honest rapport. I've predicted presidential elections, and I've predicted, made a lot of dramatic predictions through the years, even horse races and what have you, because I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the Kentucky Derby and how, and I'm going to give you behind-the-scenes story, which I have not yet made public. I'm appearing at Resorts International Atlantic City this Saturday and a week from this Saturday, and I will have my predictions that went on in a folder about the Kentucky Derby, how I made the prediction, which I never intended to do. But you know what you're saying now is, Scott, I am very concerned about getting very directly involved in politics. I can't avoid saying it because, as an American citizen who loves this country with gigantic pleasure, and I haven't heard the song played lately that Irving Berlin wrote some years ago, God Bless America, but when K. Smith sang that and when people through the years sang it, it was very inspiring because part of our culture, whether we're religious or not religious, is the flavor of God and what have you, and that has disappeared and part of the censorship of our culture. Because I think we've got two major enemies right now in the United States, and that is Red China, because they've poured millions of dollars into universities in the United States, millions of dollars. I don't think the public knows, understands this, or has any real realization of what's going on. But some of the people have been taking their kids out of some of the universities because the universities are now teaching some of them very negative things about our past. Listen, we're not the most perfect country in history. And we did have slavery and what have you, but that doesn't mean we have to be blamed now and suddenly paying people today for it because it happened in the past, because the people that were victims of this terrible thing are not alive today. And you know, more and more youngsters and young people are not wanting to work and what have you. Have you heard that the workload has gone down for a lot of people in the United States? And I'll tell you, one of the things that upsets me very deeply, I think, so we have two great, one is Red China, who's poured much money, and as I'm sure you know, Red China now owns thousands of acres of land on farmland in the United States today, and we should get that all back. because they have become our enemy right now. And they hope, by the way, to take over the United States in about 12, 16 years, much less years than I was saying maybe 3 or 4 years ago when I brought this out. That's how, because of the economic control they're having over things and what have you. But so they are filling our culture. By the way, one of the key ways of taking over a nation is to have people gathering together less and less, and people are gathering together less and less in the United States. But the other factor is that we have massive amounts, as you know, and we've talked about, and let's not go about any further, hundreds of thousands of people, I forget how many million they feel in a few years, will have entered the United States, illegal aliens and so forth, with children who are dying because of the drugs that they're taking and what have you. And the other enemy I have is a person that I feel has done a tremendous job in helping to destroy our culture, and that is the President of the United States, Biden. I'm not excusing the fact that he's deranged and ill and so forth and cannot think logically and what have you, but my question is this: why would our politicians, who are supposed to be guiding and securing this country, why would they allow not just one wall to be broken down, but dozens of walls to be broken down, when if you are doing something constructively? Now, I understand, we all know that the president has made millions and millions of dollars. His son probably will go to prison if justice is taking place. And now there are 13 people in the entire family who are getting millions of dollars, have gotten millions of dollars through his engagements with Red China and what have you. And I'm not asking why or how, because the question is how or why. But when you unload people into the country and you find out in the first unloading that they have brought in drug trafficked people and what have you, and some of our youngsters and kids are becoming drug addicts and what have you, then you don't follow it with another repeat of the same thing. But we have walls and walls. And by the way, my brother was a policeman for many years in the United in New Jersey. After he got out of the army and was very much dedicated to the Merchant Marines and what have you. And I do not. I think it's a disgrace that our politicians have downloaded and lessened the salary of, and as a result of it, had law enforcement people leaving, because we need them tremendously. And they, and sure, we have some bad police in our culture, but we also have scores of bad politicians. I almost think we should clean house. Because how would they allow the contamination that's going to take? You can't go to San Francisco anymore. And everyone has told me, Creskin, don't work there. You can't walk the streets. The city has torn down. So has Chicago. New York now, the police tell me in New York, do not walk in New York at night, because the population has decreased. And many, 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 many families have moved out. Thousands have moved out of the East Coast here. Although, unfortunately, the most economically stressed state now in all is the state I live in, which is New Jersey, and that's been announced on television. I love New Jersey. This has become my second home through the years, but things have changed immensely. And I want to tell you where our politicians have let us down, and they are a disgrace. They should be thrown on their goddamn ass, and I mean this, that for to allow in certain states people for a number of months to break into restaurants and not only eating places, but places where materials are sold, and to be able to steal up to some stuff. And we have videos. It was in the news. It was in the news for weeks and weeks and weeks. We have videos of people mobbed coming in to stores and what have you. Some of the stores have gone out of business because they've lost so much, but then they're just stealing stuff. So long it wasn't close to, I'm sure you've discussed this, close to $1,000 or what have you. But there's one other major factor that they've allowed people, and by the way, a lot of these people who've broken in and a lot of people who have committed lesser crimes never have been charged, never went to prison. What the hell has happened? Oh, now the rope. But other people have gone to prison because people breaking in. Some of the prisons are emptying out, so they can now allow these people to live in the prisons and what have you. But there's one other factor that we've seemed to overlook, and how are politicians, as reprehensible, scumbagged as so many of them are, in not stopping what is going on, in allowing the president to pour millions of dollars into other countries and what have you. But one other thing has taken place. With all the television coverage of the stealing and what have you, don't we ever think of the fact that our youngsters and our younger people have seen this and have seen people taking stuff and then leaving with bags of stuff that they've stolen. And they have stolen stuff. They've committed crimes. But because the politicians allowed it to take place up to a certain amount of money, they went on their way. Do you think this is the indication? If I were a kid today and seeing this take place when I was a kid, and I ever walked in and grabbed something, I would come home and not be able to sit for a few days because I would be walloped deadly by my mother and my father.
My goodness. Kristen, we're down here to about the final minute, so I've got to ask you.
Oh, no. Scott, I'm sorry.
No, you've done fine. You've done fine. We're going to have to get you back on. We can't wait 6 months, every six months.
Can I mention where people can, if they want to write this down?
Yes.
Wednesday, May 24th. From 7 o'clock, it's called Awaken Your Unconscious. I'm going to be teaching people live on the air, those that will sign up for this and purchase the tickets. It'll be half an hour or so. I'm going to teach them how to reawaken parts of their memories. Let's say a meeting they had an hour ago, they may have had 10 minutes ago, a meeting they had yesterday that could have been important, or with a friend or someone they intended to get serious about, and reconstruct and remember things that they never noticed, they never heard said, and it will add to their ability to communicate. I think this is something that's something I can give out at long last. I've wanted to for years.
Perfect. And next week, Kristen,
I didn't realize I was taking your time.
No,
I was. Apologize.
No, I tell you what, Kristen, next I'll talk with your people, and maybe we can get you back on next week.
That would be great, Scott. I promise you, are we still on the air right now?
Well, we're still on.
Yeah, I promise you, Scott, when I come on, I will still be totally sober in spite of my criticism and what have you. I love this country, and I love people, and we have got to band together and save the United States of America. And I mean this, Scott.
Hey, thank you, Kristen. It's always a pleasure. Talk to you next week.
Take care. Bye, Scott.
Well, the world's foremost mentalist, the amazing Kristen. Now, we have something very special coming up here this morning. Now this is very unique. This is probably 3 years in the making. This person has not been with us, and I did not know this was going to happen until about 20 minutes ago, but they showed up with a Diet Coke. And as many of you know, to get access to the studio, all you have to do is bring a large Diet Coke, a fountain drink from McDonald's, and you will gain access to the studio. So it is so good for the first time in, I think, about 3 years, and on a Friday of all days, to welcome back to the microphones here the former host of the Friday Night Live Show, the first co-host of the Friday Night Live Show, back on the air with me here this morning for a few minutes as we round out the 8 o'clock hour. Bales, my good pal Bales, here you are this morning back on the air. Who said, you know, they said it would never happen, but it's happening now.
I said that a couple weeks ago.
You did. See, you just can't stay away.
Well, you know, this morning I happened to be in town. I'm never in town because I don't live here anymore, but I happened to be in town and have some free time, so.
Now, you never did live here, though, did you?
No, I lived in Prospect.
Prospect.
But now I live in Dublin.
Now you live in Dublin. But it's great to have you back. Now, how does it feel to be, you've not been to the new studio.
I have not. Well, now I have.
Nice and homey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Better than where we were before when we had to leave all the stuff out on the desks.
And you could live here.
Well, I couldn't, but somebody probably could. I don't know. If somebody needs to move in at some point, well, hey, if you ever need a place to live, we got a couch for you.
Does the kitchen work?
Yeah.
Oh, see?
Yeah. I think there's a washer and dryer somewhere around here.
Oh, I don't even have that at my house.
No washer and dryer?
No.
Oh, my goodness. What do you do? Beat your clothes against the rocks?
No, I give them to my mom and she washes
them. Well, hey, it's good for mom. So now, being back in here and being back on the air, what have you missed? Aside from me, which I assume is number one on the list.
Oh, of course. I don't know, just interacting with people. I mean, I work from home, so I don't interact. I mean, I guess I interact with people because I have to call them, but they don't really want to hear from me, so.
They don't really want to hear from you?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Well, I mean, some might, if their workers' comp goes through.
Well, yeah, I would think they would want to hear about
but
that.
But if it doesn't go through, then they don't want to hear from me.
Now, that's the type of work you were doing before, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it? Yeah, so it's the same stuff.
Yeah, I just have a different position. Now I decide things instead of just scanning it in.
Now, what do you base the decisions on?
Their medical information.
Like, what if a doctor sends in medical information and says, this person has an illness? Now, is that good enough?
Well, I mean, if it happened at work, yes. But we have to go based off, like, we have to talk to the employer, talk to the injured worker, talk to the doctor, and kind of piece everything together and see if it's legit.
You know what I was thinking about when I knew you were going to come in here in the last 20 minutes? I thought, you know, when we started doing the Friday night show, that really was a way to get you on the radio. That's originally why we started doing that Friday night show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got you on the radio, and during that time period, we went to Nashville, took the show to Nashville, did the Friday night show in front of the Grand Ole Opry. We had a lot of fun in the studio. We were on during the pandemic, the first Friday of the pandemic. We had a lot of laughs on that show, and what it proved, I always thought was, and continues to prove, is that you don't have to be newsy all the time. That sometimes you can just come on with a friend and have a good time and have a conversation that people want to hear. They feel like they're eavesdropping in on a conversation.
I mean, that's what I would rather hear on radio.
You didn't like that thing we just ran through a few minutes ago?
I didn't catch all of it.
It was a little heavy duty this morning. It was a little heavy duty.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Now, we've got big giveaways coming up later today. Do you like the Del Taco?
I've never been to Del Taco.
You haven't been to Del Taco?
I'm allergic to corn.
Yeah, but they have hamburgers there, I think.
Oh, I don't know. I've never. Do they have one in Dublin? I don't think so.
Oh, I'm sure there's Del Tacos everywhere.
Oh, I don't know.
But so we've got Del Taco giveaways. How about this beanie? You like to wear beanies, don't you?
Sure.
I've seen you in a beanie. you like to wear hats.
Oh, yeah.
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 What's wrong with a beanie?
Nothing. Nothing's wrong with a beanie.
Beanies don't get it for you?
I mean, it messes up my hair.
This is a high-quality Del Taco beanie.
Yeah, but it's getting warm out.
Well, it is getting warm out, but I see people wearing beanies all summer long.
Oh, I know. My ex-husband wears beanies every day of his life.
That's what I'm saying.
Where I'm like,
Well, no, well, yeah. past problems. Yeah. But you know, everybody's got a past.
Yeah.
We all have a past. And today we also have, I think we're giving away a pizza, a large pizza to Neighbor's Pizza.
Oh, nice. I've never been there either.
Good pizza. Now, that I have tried. And I think
we used to order pizza every Friday.
Oh, well, you know what? That was one of the best parts about the Friday night show was the food.
Yeah. I know. Food's my favorite.
Well, we had a lot of pizza. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of Denny's.
Yeah.
What is that thing you used to like at Denny's? I remember that's why we went there.
Lava cake?
Oh, yeah. Chocolate lava cake.
Yeah. Now Denny's doesn't sell them. But at Kroger, they have them that you can buy and make yourself. And so I have one every night.
Oh, you have a chocolate lava cake every night? Now, is that good for you?
Well, I'm sure it's not, but it's okay.
With chocolate ice cream?
Chocolate ice cream, chocolate syrup, whipped cream.
Wow. Well, I bet your diabetes is pretty good right now.
Yeah. I mean.
Oh, and of course, you were always a big drinker of the sweet tea.
Yes. Well, I'm from Alabama, so.
Now, see, what is, we've been asking this in the past, what does Roll Tide mean?
Oh, I have no idea.
It doesn't mean anything, does it?
I don't know. I'm assuming because Alabama has a beach, you know, the tide can come in.
Oh, you think that's what?
I think. I don't know for sure.
See,
but their mascot's an elephant. It's Big Al. So I don't know.
Well, I could never figure it out, to be honest with you, because like when we say go Bucks, we're talking about go team. And when we do the, like, O-H-I-O, we're spelling the state. But I never really understood what Roll Tide exactly meant. But, boy, those people yell it at you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys yell O-H-I-O all the time. Over- and you know what? I don't ever say that, so you should be happy that I just
this
said
is,
that
this
on
is
air.
The first.
Yeah.
You're on. Well, no, and I don't say O-H-I-O, but I hear people saying it, mm-hmm. and they seem to get very excited about it.
Yeah, I don't understand.
No, but I do know what it means, and I think that's the difference between
right.
O-H-I-O and Roll Tide, because I don't know what Roll Tide means.
I don't know either, and I'm an Alabama fan, like a big Alabama fan, but I have no idea.
Now, in Alabama, it's not like West Virginia or Kentucky where people marry their cousins, right?
No.
But
no.
In those states, there's some problem there.
In Alabama?
No, or, no, no, no. In West Virginia and Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
People who gravitate toward their states, you know, those states, there's some problem.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's nice that everybody's related, but it's really not good for society in general, I don't think, because the clinics are all filled up down there. Haven't you missed this?
I have. People do say that about Alabama, but that's not true.
No, no, and that would be a horrible thing to say about a state, although
yeah.
I just said it about two. It doesn't really matter, because I think that those states have those... Because every time I've driven through... We drove through Kentucky, did
it's
we
like
not?
It's like people of the corn. Like the children
yes.
of the corn.
Did we not drive through Kentucky going to...
We didn't, we got lost.
Right.
Got us lost.
And I was fearful, because I thought, Joe Bob and 19 of his cousins were going to come out, and we'd be stuck in Kentucky forever and never make it to Nashville.
Yeah, I know. I was scared.
What was your favorite part of that Nashville trip? Now, we did the broadcast from the Grand Ole Opry, but we did many other things.
Well, food-wise, definitely the aquarium restaurant.
We went and ate at the aquarium after the big...
production.
Yeah, the show that night.
Yeah, it was so good. So good. 10 out of 10.
Now, tell people about that aquarium who have not been to Nashville, because it sounds like seafood, but it's really a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, there's pretty much everything, every type of food that you want. I think for, you know, everyone to have something that they enjoy. But I will say that it's very cool because you're sitting in, and like, you're underwater, basically. You're in an aquarium. There's aquariums all around you.
Yeah, and that night you had a drink. Or two.
Yeah, I did.
You did.
That was good.
It was a good night. Everybody was calm at the end
probably
of that night.
Probably a strawberry daiquiri. That's like my go-to when I go out to restaurants like that.
I don't remember. I just remember that it had been a stressful day because we'd done a lot that day. We'd been to the Country Music Hall of Fame. We'd taken the Grand Ole Opry tour. We had done the broadcast, and it was freezing, and you had a dress on. And then we finally made
it. Oh, yeah, it was freezing.
And then we made it into the mall, and you knocked back a few.
Yeah. So, besides that, though, I think my favorite part would be, I don't know, like, I loved that we got to meet Phil Moore. That was really cool.
Oh, yes.
Private concert. That was really...
That was at the Hall of Fame, wasn't it?
Yes, that was. But I really enjoyed touring the Grand Ole Opry and getting to see all of the history there.
And we sang. We did sing on that broadcast.
As much as
you say you may never have sang, you did sing.
Yes.
We sang that song that they sing at the end of the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah, I don't remember what it is.
I never remember what it is either, but I do remember we sang it because it was an emotion-filled day because it's a song, I believe, about dying.
It's something about Circle.
Circle.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did the Circle song there live from the Grand Ole Opry, which was really heavy-duty radio at that time.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of fun together doing a lot of things, and I think when people, you know, leave a show and you don't really stay all that in touch for a long time, they think there's some kind of bad feelings. You and I never had any bad feelings.
No, I just had, I mean, I have three kids now. At the time, I only had two, but life is so busy. Both my kids play travel sports, and... You know, now with a third one, I've already had texts this morning on what he's supposed to wear because it's the first time that I haven't been the one to get him dressed.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting to me because I think for a long time people thought there was some friction, but there wasn't any friction. It was just people were doing their own things. Yeah. And recently you called into the Friday night show and it's been really like it was before, pretty much.
Right. I just couldn't do it anymore because most weekends I'm gone. I'm out of town.
Right. Oh, yeah. But what I'm saying. Yeah. But when you called in then, didn't you feel we picked right up where we'd left off before?
Oh, for sure.
And since then, you know, we have had just great conversations, and I think that's a very nice thing.
Yeah.
And by the way, because everything has to be visual now in radio, we'll do a little selfie today. Now, I'm interested to see if you can still... You used to take all the selfies. I never did this. We'll take a little selfie here from the new studio. We'll put it up on Facebook to show that Bale stopped by in case somebody didn't catch it this morning. Boy, they'll be kicking themselves if they slept in this morning.
I know.
So, what is it at this particular point that you're headed off to Elgin today?
Yes, I have to go be a mystery reader in Austin.
A mystery reader?
Yes. So every few weeks or so, they have a parent come in and be a mystery reader. So they give the kids clues, and they have to try to guess who's coming in.
Is that like the mystery... What's that show with the mystery singer? Is that
Masked
it?
Singer?
Masked Singer. Is it like that?
Maybe. I don't know. I did it for Caden, but with Austin, it was his birthday yesterday, so that's why I chose today to be the mystery reader.
How old was he?
He's eight.
Eight. Hard to believe. My good. I knew him when he was little. Four or 5 years old.
Yeah.
My goodness. Do you know what book you're reading?
I have no idea.
Oh,
I didn't get to pick, so.
Are you a little nervous?
No. I know how to read.
You know, there was always a question of that. I did not know. I'm not saying any. I just never saw you read.
Yeah, I mean, I don't read, but I do know how.
Well, today you're going to break out those skills, right?
I am.
Do you see how quick 15 minutes went by?
I know, it was very quick.
Well, Bale's back in the studio this morning. What a pleasure it is to have you here, and we'll send the picture over to Facebook. We'll be right back. Anything to say to the audience before we go to break here?
If I don't come back, I miss you guys and love you guys.
Well, that's very nice of you. And you miss and love me as well,
well,
right?
Of course, of course.
Yeah, well, I thought, let's just imply that. All right, we'll be back in 15 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere.
Hey. Boy, that sure sounds familiar.
The place is WWGH.